I guess it's a good thing that God knows better where Buzz and Bob are, or you never find them, because I put them all the way across Africa from where they are. So I'll read this again for you and refresh my own memory. Brother Bob and I arrived in Ibadan, Nigeria this morning. We will be in Ibadan for about 10 days and then travel to two other areas. We will have daily classes here at the church office and then preaching services each evening and weekend. Please remember us in your prayers. And please remember Brother David as he speaks to us this evening in your silent prayers, and give him your very careful attention. Brother David.
Thank you, Brother Johnny. Sometimes I think it would be kind of fun to be in Africa, and other times I just have a lot of respect for those that are doing it. Same goes with the Philippines and Mexico, Central America, and every place that they go. Have to respect those people for that. You know, we make an appearance here and there, and we travel and see different people and stuff, but tonight I wanted to speak a little bit about appearance. The Lord didn't put a whole lot of stock in how we appear physically to people. And every once in a while, I'll come off with some off-the-wall saying just to get a laugh or see a reaction. Like this evening, I took my Bible out of the briefcase and brought it up here, and Kathy said, "Just one book?" And I said, "One arm, one book, and one God." And she says, "I got to hear this." Just something out of character. I just enjoy not being a stick in the mud, I guess. But what we do up here behind the pulpit's pretty serious sometimes. And we have to be careful what we say, that we don't offend somebody, but at the same time, it's kind of hard at times to get a point across and not have somebody that's offended by it. And Christ often ran into that himself. But I wanted to read, and I'm just reading out of Matthew, Mark, and Luke tonight. Starting in Matthew, make this as easy as we can. Chapter 10. Now I want to read verses 28 through 33. "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And not two sparrows, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than any sparrows. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before the Father, which is in heaven." I don't think that these people that are going to Africa and to different parts of the world are denying anything about Christ. I think they're putting him right out there in front and depending on him to take care of them and to be with those people that they're going to go to see. There are certain areas that they go to that those people are a warsome people. And it's kind of scary. But we know that the Lord even knows how many hair we have on our head, whether we have any or not. He knows everything about us. I'm going to go over to 16th chapter of Matthew. Read about something that we come across from time to time. I'm going to read the first four verses of the 16th chapter. The Pharisees also, with the Sadducees, came and tempting desired him that he would show unto them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you cannot discern the face of the sky. But how can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Here the Lord talks about the weather and how the weather appears to us. Red sky in the morning, sailor take warning. Red sky at night, sailor's delight. The Lord said, you know that. That's something that you see, something that you live through. But he says, how is it that you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times? We heard about the signs of the times this morning. Our brother Jim spoke to us this morning, and he said he'd been studying those things of the latter days, and they're definitely here. We're seeing those things. So if we go to the Lord and we say, show me a sign, we might not like what he shows us. But he says you'll have the same signs as the prophet Jonah. When he didn't want to do what the Lord asked him to do, he paid the price for it. And he decided, well, I guess I better do what he asked. It's not a good thing if we go against the Lord when he's telling us to do something. As we go through these scriptures, we see what it is that he wants us to do. And we live by it. When Jim was reading in Psalms this morning, I'm going to turn back to that. It's not really on the subject that I'm reading about, but as I opened my book, I had a note in the 37th Psalm, the 25th verse. It says, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. My grandfather told me, and he lived through all the years of the Depression and stuff, and he raised a pretty big family. He said, you know, we never went hungry. We always had something on the table. Kathy and I saw a panhandler today as we were leaving town to go back up on the hill and get our camper and pull it down. And this guy standing there and holding a sign, and I didn't have time to read it because I was driving through the intersection. I pay attention to where I'm going. But I asked Kathy, I said, what does sign say? I need a new tire on my Harley? Those guys that stand on the corners and beg money. There's one at 12th and Patterson. Kathy sees him all the time. And one of the doctors asked him how much he makes in a day. And he said, $200. He makes better wages than I do, standing there with a sign. They'd probably drive better cars than I can drive. But that's the appearance. They dress like they're poor, like they have needs. But there's organizations that'll help them. We saw one guy. He stood out there on that same corner for quite a while. We'd see him. Said, disabled veteran, need help. And I said, well, if he's a veteran, he's got all the benefits. He doesn't need any help. He's just out there making money. As long as people give it to him, they'll do it. But they appear to be a poor, forsaken people. one of my daughters, might have been Sarah, I don't remember which one, but she said, look at that guy. He says, my dad has been through multiple operations, lost his arm. You don't see him standing on the corner begging. Well, I do have tough times, but I don't want to appear that the Lord hasn't been with me, because he has. And it encourages me to keep on going and work as hard as I do. If we go to Matthew, the 16th chapter, and the 21st verse, I'm going to read 21 through 28, down through the end of the chapter there. It says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So whosoever will save his life shall lose it. What's he talking about? Well, he's talking about that everlasting life, that life in the kingdom that the Lord has prepared for us. If we make it through this life in favor of God, then we'll make it in the next life. Even if it cost us this flesh and blood because of the persecution, the same as what Jesus went through, he showed us what to do. He showed us the sacrifice that it takes sometimes to get your point across. But whosoever shall lose his life shall gain it. Gain that everlasting, eternal life. That's what Christ was talking about here. If we try to get as rich as we can and to please men, it's not going to get us very far. Once this time of probation, which you heard about this morning, is over, when it's over, you better hope that you were pleasing to God, because if you weren't, it's not going to be pleasing to us when we see that kingdom of God disappear. And we say, I could have reached it. I could have. But I chose not to. We don't want to lose our soul just for gain in the world. There was a time in the 17th chapter of Matthew, and I'm just going to read the first verse through the 21st here, because it's quite a story. And it's about the transfiguration that Christ did in front of some of his disciples. First verse of chapter 17 in Matthew. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them into the high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell this vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise, they shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Elias was John the Baptist. And what did they do to him? They beheaded him. They cast him in prison and took away his life. And that's what Christ was talking about here. Elias has come already. They knew him not. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them and John the Baptist. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they cannot cure him. Sometimes I think I'm a lunatic because I fall a lot now. I haven't fell in any of the basins at work, but we have good guardrails, and it's a good thing. But I have to be real careful not to fall. We all do. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you to bring him hither to me? And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto the mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. I don't know if we have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, if we told a mountain to move, if it would actually move unless there was a purpose for that mountain to move so that we could do God's will. I think if you just said to the mountain, move, that's like seeking a sign. And Jesus said, there's not going to be a sign. But when we're doing the work that he set out for us to do, that's a different story. And you could call a mountain Africa, the Philippines, the things in Mexico. Those are mountains. They'll wear you out. But with the Lord's help, those people are there doing a good job, doing a deed for the Lord and moving those mountains with a grain of mustard seed for faith. Maybe not that much faith, but it's still faith. It's the faith that we're told to have. In Matthew 23, I want to read one verse there. Verse 14. These are the words of Christ. He says, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses. For a pretense, make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. You know, if we take advantage of those that are weak, those that are vulnerable, and we do it for our own gain, then we're worse than people that go out and kill. We have the greater damnation. if we're going to do that, if we're going to be that hypocritical and have the appearance to be doing something good and give mighty long prayers in front of everybody and so they know how good we are, but in the back of our minds we're going, yeah, I'm going to take advantage of this situation. Then we've got a problem. We've got a big problem. Your appearance had better be a little truer than that. Let's go to Matthew 26. I'm going to read this story, two different gospels. And it's one that we're all familiar with. It's the one where Judas, who came up and betrayed Christ with a kiss. And I'm going to read that first in Matthew 26, verse 45 through 50. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take ye rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, and from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whosoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Friend. Some friend, isn't it? Somebody that comes to betray you. I've had friends like that. Friends that want to take advantage. I'm going to go over to Luke. We're going to... Luke 22... because I like the one in Luke a little bit better. Luke chapter 22, verses 47 through 54. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude. And he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? One of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. I like that. I think it's a little more to the point of how Christ reacted. You betray me with a kiss, huh, Judas? He put that right in Judas's lap. Judas didn't like it. Judas ended up committing suicide over it. All of a sudden, his blood money, he didn't want in his pocket anymore. The power that Satan has. Affecting our appearance. Affecting the actions that we take. This is just one example. Then we have traditions. I'm going to go to Mark chapter 7. Read a little bit about what Christ had to say about the traditions. I'm going to start on chapter 7, verse 5. These are the words of Christ. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? That was in the 7th chapter of Matthew, not Mark. But the Lord saying here that we give to those that we love, that depend on us. We don't want to appear to give and not take care of them. If our son asks for bread, do we give him a rock? Say, here, here's your bread, eat. That's not what the Lord wanted. And when the Lord was asked, how come you don't wash your hands? How come your servants don't wash their hands? That's the one in Mark. The 5th verse, 7th chapter. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not the disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and said unto them, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. But I say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. In other words, what the Lord says is, you give me lip service, but your actions are the opposite. You say that you're supporting God and doing the commandments, but you're actually following traditions of men. You're hypocritical. And so he kind of gives them a dressing down here. And he says, you ought to be honoring your mother and your father and doing the things that God has commanded you to do. But I guess if you were a son that was given a rock instead of bread, you might not honor your parents. I'm going to go over to the 12th chapter of Mark. Read 41 through 44. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury, For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Well, I kind of was curious. Okay, what's a mite? What's a farthing? So I looked it up. I'm still not real sure. But this is what I came up with. A farthing in American money is about 1.5 cents. But a mite, which she cast in 2 mites, is about 1/5 of 1 cent. So she didn't have much to cast in, did she? The meaning of farthing and the meaning of mite didn't match. If you do the math, it don't work out. A farthing's 1.5 pennies, but 2 mites, what it says here, 2 mites, which make a farthing. 2 mites is 1/5. That's only 2/5. That's not even 1/2 cent. So in the translations of some of these values, they're the translation kind of gets messed up and lost. But the meaning of this is she had very, very little to live on. And what she had, she gave all of it to the Lord. Remember the rich man that came to the Lord and he said, all the commandments I follow. So what do I do to gain the kingdom of heaven? He said, sell all that you have and follow me. And he knew he wouldn't. That man turned around and walked away because he was a rich man. He wasn't about to sell everything he had, give it to the poor and follow after Christ. No way. But this widow here did. She gave everything she had. All of her living. Doesn't always come down to the money. It comes down to what's in the heart. I'm going to go over to Luke and read a little bit here about the appearance of Christ to the people when their day's work was done. And when they had done all their work, they gathered their kids, their families, and they went to meet Christ. Hopefully we would do the same. Even though you're tired and you've been working all day, hopefully you take the time and say, well, I hear that Christ is speaking over here today, so let's go see him. This is in Luke chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 40 through 44. Now when the sun was setting, which would be about this time of day, sun's going down, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them. Rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him or delayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Here we have Christ not only being out all day, but all night, taking care of these people. Just because the sun went down, he didn't stop. He knew the needs of those people. The fact that those people had been doing their duties, working their jobs, getting things ready so that they could come and see Christ. He knew that. And he was willing to work through the night to give those people what they came to receive. In Luke 16, I'm going to read a little bit here about justifying ourselves. The 15th verse, the words of Christ. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were unto John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, every man presseth unto it. And it is easier for heaven and the earth to pass than for one tittle of the law to fail. So when the Lord sets his law, that's the way it is. God knows the heart. He doesn't want us to be hypocrites. He says, if you're going to work for men, for riches, for filthy lucre, that is not what God wants. That's an abomination in the sight of God. Because you're working for the wrong thing. You're putting all your effort and all your time into the wrong thing. I'm going to read some in the 17th chapter of Luke here. And if you don't take anything else home with you this evening, remember this. 17th chapter of Luke, verses 12 through 21. Says, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So here we have 10 lepers that were cleansed. And they did what Christ told them to do. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where's the other 9? He said, you're the only one that's given tribute to God who just healed you. Where's the other 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save the stranger, the Samaritan. A stranger to that area. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Kingdom of God does not come with the appearance unto all men. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. If we remember that tonight, it'll help us to give a better appearance. If we remember that the kingdom of God is within us, and it's up to us to have that appearance to the rest of the world, to have that light within us. You might once in a while make an off-the-wall comment to see what the reaction is, get a laugh or two, but the appearance is still there that the kingdom of God is our goal, that he lives within our heart, and he knows our heart. And that's what we need to remember. Thank you.